You should be able to, if all else changes in the home, once again, if dad is not there, if dad has dropped the ball, then you ought to be able to see in the mother some wisdom that can be imparted to the children. Because as it said, that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Mama Said There'd Be Days Like This. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Mama Said There'd Be Days Like This.
A child is disciplined, and the parent says, "This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you." And the child says, "Right, then why don't you take it and whoop your own self?" The child can say, and see, children know, because what does it say here? It says that no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. And if that child, if that parent loves that child, now once again, you know, the discipline comes in many forms, so I'm not just talking about, it comes in many forms. Whatever form God has convicted you, because I know at Bethany, we have the gamut, all right? We run the gamut. So whatever God has instructed you, then that's the way you do it, okay? Because that could be a situation, I mean, I could preach a whole sermon on that right there, all right? So whatever way God has instructed you, that's the way you do it. And then as you do it realizing that the ultimate outcome is the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So as a godly mother trying to drop wisdom on our children, we see there's chokmah, we see that there is musar, and then we see third that there is the Hebrew word bina, which is the ability to sort out the good from the bad, the right from the wrong, and the true from the false. See, you know, we want to raise our kids, and then we just want to turn them loose into the world and not really teach them. And you know what this is called right here? Plain and simple, this is called discernment. That's all it's called. You want to teach your child how to become discerning so that they know when they are confronted with choices, and they are confronted with a bad choice and a good choice, that we pray to God that they would choose the good, even though that's not always the case. We pray that they would choose the good, but at least they have been instructed that there has been a procedure that has been implemented in the home to teach this child the difference between good and bad, right and wrong, true and false. That somebody has said, look, this is what's good right here, and this is bad. And then maybe even to put some exercises to give the child the opportunity to choose the things that are good and refuse the things that are bad. So this is proverbial wisdom for mothers. That you can look at this right here, and you can, this is your job description right here. As a mother. Now, again, you know, we do all these other things, right? Run them to the hospital, run them to sports, and run them to choir, and we do all that, which is good, all right? But this is your main, the father too. Now, again, I keep saying that, you know, we hope that the fathers are not just letting this slide over their head, all right? But we're talking to mothers today. That you would have this job description, and that you would help your children apply biblical knowledge to everyday situation. That you would teach them wisdom through discipline, chastisement, and correction. And that you would give them the ability to sort out the right from the wrong, the good from the bad, and the true from the false. See, and what is that doing? Somebody pray with me today. Somebody pray with me today. What is that doing? That's teaching them to be prepared and equipped for the days that they will have to face. If you will do that, if you will take the time, you know, we do all this other preparation, and we prepare for all this other stuff. Let's prepare them also for life. Let's prepare them to be able to go out and deal with the world. See, so many young people that can't deal with the world. They have no concept or perspective how to deal with the world. They get out in the world and they get run over by Slick Leroy and Slick Willie and Hustling Billy and all these other kind of people because they don't know how to deal from a biblical perspective. They don't have discernment to deal with situations in the world. Thank God for all those here at Bethany who work with the youth. Praise God that you are taking your time to come and teach on a Sunday morning or Wednesday night or Friday or Saturday, whenever you're here, because it's so important for somebody to be pouring into the hearts of these young people. That's why I can't wait till we get this church up so we can open this gym back up. And I remember when we had basketball here, one of the things that the kids had to do before they played basketball was have Bible study. That's one of the things they had to do was have Bible study and have prayer. Because, you know, you figure some people, unless they come to church, now I hope this is not true in your family. I hope to God this is not true in your family. That the only time their kids know anything about prayer or the Bible is when they come to church. Because they're not seeing it at home. I remember one time the pastor came by this lady's house, and the mother said, darling, go get me the blessed book that we love to read all the time. And the little child came back with the Sears catalog. See, we have to equip and prepare the children for life. And so we see that as they have to deal with life, that there are 3 days. My mama told me there'd be days like this. What 3 days do we want to talk about today? Now, there might be many more days, but 3 days that children need to be prepared and equipped for. The first day is the prosperous day. And in the prosperous day, we need to teach them how to smile. When things are going good, we need to teach them how to enjoy it. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 14. Solomon says, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. That we need to be joyful in the day of prosperity. Now, let me say this now, and I need to say this because a lot of people asked me questions last week. Especially in reference to what happened with Bin Laden, all right? And let me just, I'm going to come back to Ecclesiastes, but we're talking about the prosperous day, right? The prosperous day when things are going well, you know, and that was a prosperous day. The day that they took out Bin Laden, that was a prosperous day. You know, somebody that had caused so much harm in the world, killed 3,000 people, you know, on one day. And who knows how many other people that he has killed and throughout his life. All right, so we know that this was a nefarious and evil and wicked man. We know that. There's no question about that. But turn to Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 17. In the prosperous day. And I thought I would slip this one in here. This don't necessarily have anything to do with the message. But a lot of people ask me this question, so I want to slip it in here now. Proverbs 24 and verse 17. Rejoice not when thy enemy falls, and let not thy heart be glad when he stumbles. So I think here goes the word right here. That you know, this is not Pastor Glaze. This is the word of God. You know, people ask me, should we be celebrating? And you know, I think that there should be recognition and acknowledgement that we took somebody out. But the Bible says don't rejoice. Don't celebrate whenever your enemy falls. You know, you just use it as an opportunity to pray for those that he influenced and say, you know, would to God that God would not raise anybody else up like this. Or not God, excuse me, not God would raise them up, but that anybody else would be raised up to do what this man did. So in the day of prosperity, we are, in our own personal lives, we are to rejoice. And so one of the things that we need to do is that we need to teach our children how to handle prosperity. Now, when I'm talking about prosperity, I'm not talking about just financial. I believe that's a part of it. I believe finances are a part of it. When I talk about prosperity, I'm talking about health and relationships and all those things that you need to teach your child how to handle prosperity. I think one of the things that happens is that you look at a lot of these young guys who grow up and then they are great athletes and then they go to college and then they go to the NFL and or the NBA or wherever it is and they start making all this money. And what happens? They end up blowing it. And why do some of the guys end up blowing their money? You know why? Because nobody ever taught them how to handle prosperity. Jesus said, "He that is faithful in a few things will also be faithful in that which is much." And so in the day of prosperity, we need to rejoice. We need to be able to handle prosperity correctly and accurately and not find ourselves taking advantage or losing missed opportunities in the day of prosperity. And as a parent, as you teach your child the chokmah and the bina and the musar, those Hebrew words, as you teach them, what you are doing is you are preparing them for the day of prosperity. The day that they are blessed and the day that they will have abundance, the day that they will have blessings, that they will be equipped to handle those days. If you want to see how a child is going to handle responsibility when they become an adult, just give them some responsibility now. And you will see exactly how they are going to handle it. However they handle that situation right then, it's going now. Then all you got to do, I remember what Deion Sanders says. He says that, you know, what happens to a lot of these guys is that, you know, it's like fast forwarding a video. And, you know, when you fast forward it, you know, you got this money now, right? But fast forward it and see where it's going to be. You know, the Bible says that the money takes wings and flies away. Somebody said money talks. Yeah, it says goodbye. All right? So if you want to see if a child is going to be responsible as an adult, give them some responsibility right now. And however they handle that responsibility is going to be the same way they would handle it as an adult. And so you as a parent, you need to be discerning and you need to teach your children how to handle prosperity. Mama said there would be days like this. Mama said good things would come my way. So in the prosperous day, we need to smile. Mama said there would be days like this. The second day that Mama talked about, probably, was the pernicious day. And what is the pernicious day? That is the evil day. That is the wicked day. That there will be a time in your life that something bad is going to happen. Look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Mama needs to prepare you for the evil day. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." So in the pernicious day, if in the prosperous day you smile, in the evil day, your child needs to be able to stand. What is the evil day? The evil day is when somebody takes something that belongs to them and they want to get into a fight with them. When is the evil day? When somebody says something bad about them and they are hurt. What is the evil day? Like my sons, the evil day was when somebody made fun of their tennis shoes. That in the evil day is that when bad things happen to children, that's the evil day. And parents need to take children and prepare them for the evil day. And if you don't prepare them for the evil day, then when it comes upon them, they will fail every time. Every time they will fail. Now, the Lord put this in my spirit this morning as I was meditating on the message. And I said that one way to teach children how to handle the evil day is that, you know what you need to do? Let me give you some wise advice. I didn't do this. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I wish I'd have thought about it and prayed about it, but I didn't do it. But maybe those of you who still have children, you can do it. You know what you need to do? You need to teach your children the armor of God. Well, how can I do that? I don't know. Well, you need to learn it. Now, I did a whole series, and we can get it to you. All you got to do is, now, Brother Jeff, he don't like when I throw things out there at the last minute, but give him some time. I did a whole series. As a matter of fact, we aired the series on the radio, and that was one of the series. We've had a couple series that people have called in for, and that was one that people have repeatedly called in for, the armor of God. I did a whole series on that. And I broke down each piece of armor so that you can understand it. And what you need to do, you know, I went up to the Christian bookstore. They got a Roman soldier standing there, right, with the armor of God on, just for kids. I'd go buy that if I was you. And I would teach my children the armor of God. Because if you teach them the armor of God, then on the evil day, when that day comes, when something bad happens to them, that they'll be able to stand. Stand with the helmet of salvation and truth gird about your loins, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. You know, teach that to them. And all of them have practical application. Your loins gird about with truth. What does that mean? That means that you are a truthful person. You know what? Let me say this now. And y'all don't throw stones at me. Don't throw stones at me. But I'm going to tell you something. Kids are liars. All right, now I see y'all, some of y'all looking at me funny. I'm telling the truth. Because adults are liars too. Kids are liars. So you need to teach them how to tell the truth. How can they stand right there and you see them do something, and they stand there and they will tell you to your face they didn't do it? See, that's why you need to teach them the arm of God, so that in the evil day that they will be ready to stand. What did Mama say? Mama said that in every life, some rain is going to fall. Didn't she say that? In every life, some rain is going to fall. And so realizing that rain is going to fall in the life of your child, you need to teach them how to be prepared for the rainy days. Mama said there would be days like this. The prosperous day, the pernicious day, when evil would come in my life, and that thank God for the mother or the father who equips their child to be able to stand in the evil day, in the wicked day. You know, even, I really appreciate, you know, you see some parents that they will sit down and watch TV with their children. And as they watch TV, no, you can't watch that, and this is why you can't watch it, all right? So that when the child is there by themselves, that the child will say, ooh, you're not supposed to be watching that. Ooh, wait a minute, I'm an adult. I watch what I want. Ooh, you know. All right? When the child has been equipped. You know, I look at some of my grandkids, you know. They know. Pop, we can't watch that right there. We're not supposed to be watching that. So, you know, equip them to be able to stand in the evil day. And then finally, let me close with this, the day of prosperity and the day of perniciousness, and then you need to teach them about the present day. And what is the present day? And that is to savor the present day. What does savor mean? Get everything that you can out of it. All the good that's in this day. You don't go around moping and sad and stressed out. You know, go through the day and enjoy the day. You know, I can't deal with stress. I just can't deal with stress. You know, then especially, you know, when you hear, especially after me being dealing with illness and stuff, right? And then you hear that stress actually makes you more sick, that stress causes you cancer, that stress causes diabetes, that stress causes heart disease. Oh man, look, the psalmist said, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You know, this is the present day. You know, somebody said that tomorrow is the promissory note. Yesterday is the cancel check. Today is the only cash that you have. Spend it wisely. Don't spend it angry and upset and frustrated. You know, go through life. And once again, I'm not saying that, you know, we can go through life stress-free, but we should try to minimize as much stress in our life as we can. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Enjoy this day. Moses said in Psalm 90 and verse 12, Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. You know, when I do funerals, one of the things that I say, Lord, teach us to number our days. I read an article that said if you are 35 years old, that you only have 500 days left. 35. If you are 35 years old, you only have 500 days left. Now, it went through the time that you will spend sleeping, the time that you will spend working. It said that you actually will spend over a lifetime, about 2 years, just sitting in front of a computer waiting for it to boot up. Amen. 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 Just put the timer on it, Jack. Put the timer on it. And then at the end, you can say, I just wasted 10 minutes sitting here waiting for this computer to boot up. And how many times have you done that? And just spread that over a period of time, and there goes your life. So by the time, you know, the other thing is said that, you know, you will spend about 6 months sitting at red lights waiting for them to turn green. So by the time you figure that all the days that you have left with all these other factors factored in, days that you can do with whatever you want to do with your time, right? How many days is that? 500. Now, the good news is if you're 35. What's the bad news? Well, Pastor Glaze, I got some bad news for you. I got bad news for you. All right, so you figure, you know, many of us, our 500 days are greatly reduced. You know, we might be down to about 100. 100 days left. And so, we need to teach our children to enjoy the days that they have. Not be angry. You know, I see so many children that are angry and upset and frustrated. You know, all you got to do, you know, and again, you know, just stand outside the door and just see young black men that walk up and down the street. And that won't even speak. I mean, you look them right in the eye and they won't even speak to you. I'm saying, come on, bro. Good morning, man. Yo, hey, what's going on, bro? Yo, just angry. Don't want to talk and don't just upset. Kids that you can have influence over, teach them to enjoy life. Help them to enjoy life. Mama said there'd be days like this. And God said that the children should be prepared for those days. And how are they prepared? With the proverbial wisdom that God has to offer. That Hokmah and Bina and Musar, God has given that type of wisdom. Praise God, not only to mothers, but to all that will reach out for it.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of How Do You Mend a Broken Heart? If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Mama Said There'd Be Days Like This, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Mama Said There'd Be Days Like This. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Mama Said There'd Be Days Like This. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 6 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.